Today, visiting with Mayor Eli Steins. Good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Well, we had a you had a kind of a busy
There's a lot
city
of stuff going on.
A lot of things happening last night. First of all, let's start out and tell folks that you did introduce to everybody that was on hand last night the new rec director, and the council did take formal action. Begins his responsibilities, what, beginning of August?
August 1st, yep. Nate Osmondson coming to us from Johnston, and he's actually a guardsman, too. So he was down at the guard before the meeting, and he just barely got there so he could introduce himself.
Again, this is something that council had looked at for some time, getting a rec program going again, whether it involved a complex or center or anything. This, you wanted to get this program back
right.
up and running. We'd had it, I think, maybe about 15, 20 years ago.
Yep, many years ago, we did have a rec director, rec program in addition to our parks, and so we brought that back, hoping to get you know, some more programs available for people of all ages to be active and engaged in our community.
Did you sit in on any of the interviews with them? Because a couple of your couple of your council members did. They were fairly impressed.
Yeah, there was a lot of applicants, I can tell you that much. I was not on the hiring committee.
So. Anyway, Nate will be taking over those responsibilities. Council did approve that as part of the meeting last night. And kind of right after that, ISG gave a little brief presentation on some of the things. And you had a chance to talk a little bit about financing concepts and things like that. So ISG has been retained to do some of the information
services and information gathering before a November vote on a $10 million bond for a rec complex. They brought forward their initial scheme of what services would be offered in a proposal. It would be three outdoor grass fields for various sports, an indoor complex of 40,000 square feet, four full-size courts that could be multi-purpose, basketball. You know, we could pull out a turf for indoor soccer practices and things like that. Walking track, an indoor
playground.
A little
more of a field house concept.
Field house concept. That's exactly what it is. It looks a lot like the Nevada style of things. And indoor playground for the smaller kids as well. And so the total estimated cost on that would be close to $20 million on a 22-acre parcel of land north of Cap Irby Park and south of the middle school, so just right in the middle of those two, including a road to the east side of that. And so the city can bond up to $10 million and be able to finance that with current funds through local option sales tax, so the remaining would have to be raised privately for that to go forward if the bond were approved.
So it is one of those, it is going to require, again, private contributions.
It's about 50-50 public-private partnership on that.
So one of the things that I know, because one of the first questions I had asked of me was there a pool?
Yep.
And not right, still in the discussion, not totally gone. But
I know that's the most desired item, but the cost of it would be prohibitive to do anything else. And so we want to make sure that we get the facility up and running and have those services available for the youth sports and things like that and the walking track, and begin to plan on how do we make that second phase a reality with fundraising efforts and partnerships with other local entities so we can combine our resources together and make sure we make something that could be useful to all of the different entities in the public.
So a lot more coming out on this. I think council has already approved putting it on the ballot in November.
Yes.
Language will be
they just need to finalize approval of the language at the August 5th meeting.
Okay. A lot more information coming out on that.
Yes, and there is a committee of private citizens that are going to be talking to folks about specifics, answering questions, and things like that. So a group of volunteers from the citizenry, not elected officials.
Okay. That's you're going to hear more about it, folks, as we head towards election time. Other things that came up, because I just love saying lime slaker.
Yep. Yeah. Say that a couple more times.
This is one of those things that people don't realize it, but this is what you use is needed down at Waterworks to do the softening process.
Yep.
So you got to have this.
Yep. We have to have the lime slaker. And so we had bids out and then we approved the award of the contract for that lime slaker replacement project.
Now, was this initially planned? Because I know you've looked at both locations, the water plant. And I mean, folks, we started talking, what, 2-3 years ago, you started looking at, well, some of the recommendations that came out of the wastewater plant study SEH did for you really said you got some current things you need to do to your facility.
Yep, these are ongoing maintenance things, and we've actually been working the wastewater side for a couple of years now. And the lime slaker, this is just an end-of-life process. And in fact, you know, even before we did the wastewater study, there were several items at the water treatment plant that we addressed. And it's just like doing maintenance on anything that you own. You have to keep up on it year after year.
And people keep saying, well, the new water plant. Well, yeah, it was new in 1997.
Yeah, well, parts of it are new.
You keep replacing some are a little things. Newer than others.
That's right.
The other part that did get approved a little later in the meeting, again, some roofing projects.
Yep.
And you're starting to see a couple of these things here where these the cost of these are exceeding some of the expectations, and for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, this was very interesting. Perry from SEH explained, you know, our estimated bid came in at $1.036 million for six roofs. Perry noticed that while there's a lot of roof construction going on because of all of the tornadoes that have been happening in the region, and so it's just a supply and demand issue for that, and so that's why we didn't get as good of a bid as we initially expected.
Well, at least you got a bid.
Yep, that's exactly right. We had one bid.
Fortunately, he said there was a quality contractor that was
available. Yep, they do quality work. That's the most important thing. We'll still be able to finance it, but a lot of things going in together in the roofing business these days.
So we've got, again, those some of the things for the utilities, and we're not done. There are still others that will be coming.
Yeah, we'll be talking about improvements and maintenance on water and wastewater pretty much every day as we go forward.
And lest people forget, the one thing you have done is started to move forward with a comprehensive look at the water plant because of demands that on supply that
that's
will be
right.
coming
up. And we're getting requests from outside entities to buy more of our municipal water supply. And so we need to make sure that we have a very good grasp of how much water we have, how much water we need inside the corporate city limits, and how much we have available for those other contracts.
Yeah. And I know that one of the things we have are some private lines that are out there that the city does have agreements, besides Xenia.
Yeah, besides Xenia.
I know that Administrator Bill Scare tasked with taking a look at those agreements, and is it time to get them updated?
That's exactly right. So we want to make sure that we have a really good grasp on an entirety of our water system.
Mm-hmm. In the public comment time, Dr. Nancy Woods was there, and she, a couple of different points that she had.
Dr. Woods was there, and she had she was concerned about some nuisance mowing issues, wanted to know more about how citizens were informed of the nuisance mow issue. We put it out once per year in all of the city communications and in the newspaper that if your grass is over 12 inches high, you'd be subject to a mow, and that'd be assessed to your taxes. So she asked how citizens individually were informed about if they were subject to that. And we don't have an actual individual notification for that. It just gets put on a list for the contractors and they go and mow it. I suggested to the Policy Administration Committee just to come up with a very simple notice on paper that says, hey, you've been put on this list. You know, if you mow it before the contractor gets here, then there'll be no charge to you. So they're going to look at that. But that shouldn't delay the process at all. And the concern is if there were a mailed notice or something like that, the grass would get even longer and you'd have fewer people willing to take those jobs.
That's that's the challenge you ran into a couple of years ago. Yeah.
So if we do just a simple notification that gives people the opportunity to maybe spark them to say, oh, I need to really take care of this now. Otherwise, I'll have, you know, this forced mow, and it won't delay the process at all.
We do the same or the same kind of thing. You end up with snow removal too.
Indeed, right? And so snow removal is a little more pressing because of the safety issue, for sure on the sidewalks. And the second item she had was she is a supporter of folks having chickens, and she went out and got several signatures in her neighborhood, and just wanted to express that she is still considering that issue and feels it's important.
All right. Where you had some good discussion. Well, actually, probably not as much discussion as Public Works has been doing a really good job of trying to keep people updated on the process and the progress that's going on the Story Street overlay.
Yes.
You know, if they follow along with the updates, we know that this week they are hoping to wrap up phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, they were hoping to have it wrapped up like now.
Yeah, midweek, but, early week. Today.
But with a couple of rain delays, it pushed them back a little. Mm-hmm. But anyway, getting that taken care of. And a little bit, there was other discussions about what's right. going on and how we can save, because, I mean, right away, they understand that people are having issues getting around.
Yes, yep. So, one... right now, phase one, the asphalt is supposed to be put in Friday, Saturday, and then phase two, to moving to the west side, beginning on about Tuesday, current projections. And then Wayland brought forward, instead of doing the pressed inlay sidewalk and the crosswalks immediately, to wait until the end and do them two at a time on the intersections 6th and 8th. And then have those, just the intersections closed, not the entire streets, for a couple of days. And then 5th and 8th, and then 6th and 7th, right?
Something like that.
Said. Oh, no,
he said they were going to work it out today.
Two intersections at a time.
Yeah.
So that more of the intersections would be open and they wouldn't have to close all of the four intersections.
And one thing he did point out as well, because you're going to use colored concrete, he said this would give you the same pour, so you wouldn't have to be trying to match colors and stuff like that too. So, but again, this is, he'll be going through that with the contractor today.
Yep. It was 6th and 9th and then 7th and 8th.
There we go.
Is what it was. And then we also discussed extending the angle parking mm-hmm. to the block between 6th and 7th Street, where the Dutch Oven Bakery is. And so council agreed to do angle parking on the west side of the street for that block, and then the east side of the street from 7th to 8th and 8th to 9th.
So that... Well, is that the first concept that they had? That's
yes.
what's going to be looking
yep,
at?
Yep, that was okay. the first concept.
Okay, so...
That wasn't available to everybody in the audience,
yeah,
I don't think.
I thought that's what they were going to be looking at. One of the challenges is that downhill parking. There's a concern about that.
Yes, on the blocks between...
part of it is... And part of the other thing is you're not real sure. You have people interested at 628 Story, the big open space.
Right.
And exactly what
how that would affect the parking. And it's nice to have additional parking in, immediately in front of that west side with all the different storefronts, including mm-hmm. the Dutch Oven and the Vision Center.
So that's a decision the council did go with last night. But in one of those that came up.
All told, I calculated it out, we'll have 40% more available parking spots on the street when this is all done.
With the diagonal.
And we'll go from zero handicap accessible spots to 6. And the way they have that diagrammed is all the handicap accessible are right on the corners. So they'll be right at the crosswalk.
Okay. Again, that's still, that's farther down towards the end of the project.
Yes.
But we're looking forward to getting the first part done, second phase going. I know mm-hmm. you want to keep on task because with crazy days coming up and things like that,
yes.
People are still going to be able to get up and down the sidewalks.
That's right. Yeah, the sidewalks will remain open as long as they're not pouring concrete on those.
Well, we keep plugging along. I know.
Yep.
We knew there was going to be inconvenience.
Yeah, whenever you do a major project like this, you know, there are certain decisions you have to make that are beneficial in some ways and detrimental in other ways.
Some people still wonder about the trees.
Yep, you know? Indeed.
But the others are there, and who knows, could have more. And it didn't even get into Public Works doing the people lights, and those are all going to be upgraded,
yep.
too. So we'll have all of that happening. Some of the other things that came up, let's see. I know we did have, prior to the meeting, Economic Development Committee.
That's right.
Got another application to use your Revitalize Downtown Boone
yep.
Grant Program, and a project they were very excited about.
So that'll be the third application for that, and for Radicato to move into their 6th Street Underground location for their food service business. And the council members that were on that committee and participated were very impressed with the setup and the idea for that, and they want to make sure to help them move to that location to increase their business.
Get that going forward. And again, that's one of those where a lot of people are going, the what?
Yeah.
Is it? Some know, people that use it and have been involved with Chad and Jenny for a while They're well aware, and they're looking at potentially even expanding
their market too to Ames and things like that. And you know, this revitalized downtown Boone grant explicitly states new businesses, but this business has been around for a while, mm-hmm. so it is flexible in that regard too. If they're changing a fundamental aspect of their business,
and that's one of the big things too. Yeah, they're creating a kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not brand new. Turn the key, you know, you can apply for it even if you've been established for a while.
I was thinking this has been in place. The city's had this. You've had this in some of the housing things.
Yeah.
And people could look online and see the list that's there.
Jumpstart for tax payments.
But it's, you've had a number of them there. This is just, it seems like now there's more interest in being able to use them.
Momentum, word of mouth, being able to show that it's been successful for mm-hmm. other businesses has helped out a lot.
Right,
and that helped us in our Main Street application presentation
too. Yeah, that's one of those. Did you go along? And
I did. I was part of the presentation.
Okay.
I was at the very end. We were running out of time, so I had to speak very quickly. But it went very, very well. I believe that the committee that we presented to was very impressed with the application as a whole and with our presentation and the turnout of number of people that we had come along with us for that presentation.
I think one thing in some of the challenges some people have with grasping what the Main Street will do. The city really, you guys are very supportive of it.
Yes.
Because it does bring a partnership to public funds.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So we would have a contribution to a Main Street director. That director, their sole focus would be on, you know, these several blocks downtown and how to improve facades, how to improve business, you know, the whole experience of the place. And they would have a lot of resources available from Main Street Iowa and Main Street America.
So now we just have to wait for the decision to be made.
Yep. It's imminent. So we'll know. And we need to let people know in case they want to come to the official announcement at the convention next month.
Well, get that coming along here. The other, we did get the first, after doing the rezoning, Hunsaker moving mm-hmm. forward with their project. Brought in a preliminary plan, and again, we'll still have to go through the final, but the next step in the process, and they are proceeding.
Yep. They're moving forward pretty quickly. You know, we had to cut down a little bit on a setback in order for everything to fit, but it's not an unusual request.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is in the 1200 block of South Marshall.
Yes.
And right now it's a field.
It is a field, yes.
The way they're going, it's not going to be long. Plus, they're putting a couple of commercial.
Yes, so I'll be very interested to see what kind of new businesses we can have in that area.
So that's just one of many things still going on. Other things that you wanted to highlight? Let's see. I'm trying to remember what all else came up. We do know that, you have a new accounts payable and payroll specialist, Amy Eckhart.
Mm-hmm.
Had been, many would know, she was at the school and... you swiped her away.
Yes. And then we have our intercity trip 2024. Andrea Elmquist will be going to that. And actually, she was appointed to be assistant city administrator at this meeting as well in the consent agenda. So she's taking on a little bit more of those duties to learn more and things like that. So she'll be going up to Fargo September, in the mid-September.
Could have a couple of council members maybe going to
take
that in.
Checking their schedule.
See
if they'll be able to go.
This is one of those that participating with Ames Economic, see if I can remember the whole thing.
Area.
Ames, yeah, area is the acronym for it. But this is, you've made these trips before.
Yeah, this is the third time, I believe.
And find out what other communities are doing.
Yeah, a lot of networking, just you know, seeing, hey, what are we doing well? What are our challenges? What are you doing well? What are your challenges? And we can learn from one another.
Right. So busy. Now, go back here a little bit, 4th of July. Had a number of fireworks complaints this year, but
I didn't hear of anything unusual as far as the number of complaints went. I know some neighborhoods were worse than others, and mm-hmm. You know, I thank the police force for taking all those extra calls and trying to enforce the ordinance as best as possible.
They got that done. Yeah. Otherwise, crazy days coming up. A fair this week.
Yes,
and
the new route.
Yep. Starting at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad and on 11th Street all the way to Meridian.
Meridian.
That's going to be the parade route this year, so people need
to
remember
that. A little bit different. However, I do think that it'll have a lot more shade than previous parade routes down 8th Street.
Yeah, you might have to actually park off the little ways and walk.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of walking distance for that. But I think the temperature for it should be much more...
better than what we've had.
Manageable than previous years.
I think the fair is like, the fair board's like ecstatic with what the forecast is for them right
It'll
now.
Be a good week for them. I hope them the best of success.
We have a lot of other things going on. Going forward, still have, as we get into the new fiscal year now, again, going to have some more projects coming up. And I know housing, that's still one of the big ones. I don't know if we had any updates on the grant program, but...
No updates so far.
But they were making pretty good progress early on, I think. And I know you've got a couple other... Well, we talked about ribbon cutting. Oh, yeah, I want to remind people about the SERPTA safety thing. Yep. That'll be at the City Hall, 4 to 6 on Wednesday afternoon. And kind of a open house format, but they are looking for citizen input on safety.
Yep, and this is a road and pedestrian safety. Yep. And so the money available for that.
So... You want to get your voice in.
That's one of the things that comes up a lot, complaints and suggestions to me, is how do we make our roadways safer for pedestrians?
So here's a way to start, and SERPTA, again, can go out and pursue the money for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Eli Stein's been mayor. Got a couple of different committee meetings coming up, but otherwise, next council meeting will be on the 5th of August.
August 5th.
Yeah, we're flying right along.
Yep, summer's going fast.
Eli Stein's our guest on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.